$500,000 on skins?
I don't care. I'm playing Pokemon Go.
Ooh.
Is that cringy? Should I really put that online?
I guess that's why his channel died.
At least he's being genuine. Unlike you, Ali.
I do swear in real life, I didn't care.
Do you still enjoy Fortnite?
I thought you watched my videos.
Jelly.
It's a Diplodocus.
I think we can start by you talking about the fact that we've got the tallest person ever on the podcast.
Dude, you're tall. It's intimidating, man.
And Jelly,
I'm happy we're seated.
You've got a That's big thing with height.
Yeah, you know, I'm a short guy, and a lot of people, I've said it 100 times. Do you need to hear it again?
Like, but the good thing is on YouTube, you only ever see this portion, so yeah. No one knows how tall or short you are.
Until you get exposed on a podcast.
I mean, I feel like I'm not the shortest guy in the world, but you're extremely tall.
I'm quite tall. I think a lot of our friends are quite, my friends are quite tall as well. And
do tall people look for tall people?
Maybe, yeah. Well, like, you're tall, be my friend.
Does that mean when you see like Jelly walk up to you, you're like, ooh.
I don't notice him. Like, he's just below my line of sight.
That's
like,
even worse. Oh, that so that makes sense you. Then. You yeah. only have tall friends yeah, because yeah. you can't
we can see
simply.
Each other.
All right, Jelly. So who have we got? You're going to intro our
Man,
guest today?
I can't believe we've got this guy with us today. Ali A!
Woo! Yay!
I actually hadn't looked at your sub count, but I know it's a lot. I know it's a lot.
How many subs are you on at the moment?
Main channel is 18.5 million.
And then second
channel hit 13 million yesterday.
So. Wow.
That's really impressive for a second channel.
Yeah.
With the three of us together, what? We're doing like 60 million subs across
yeah,
all channels.
Lot. That's yeah. a lot. That's
and I also saw you're about to go over the 10 billion view mark.
Yeah, I'm like, that's in the back of my head. Like,
you're on 9.9 billion total views.
I always have these little goals to like just keep me motivated. As soon as you hit them, you don't feel that excited or nothing really happens, but it's just good to keep you motivated for that next number.
You've already had the plaques, you know, done. Yeah. So it's kind of beyond there.
The diamond plaque, man, too easy.
Of those now. The next goal is the 10 billion one, and I want to try and get both channels to 20 million. Like, I think it's feasible.
Sure.
So that's like the thing I'm aiming for at the moment. It's just
going to have to do a whole lot more clickbait.
I actually technically have... I have.
There's enough of that, Jelly.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm not any better.
No, that's good. Funny enough, though, is I actually have 3 diamond play buttons.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Turns out you could just buy them.
Oh, okay.
You just need to get one, and then you just buy as many as you want. Anyway, so Jelly, one thing you forgot to mention is we've got a shill. Spotify, do your thing.
Right. Listen, before we get deep into the conversation. It's important that you are either listening on Apple Music, Spotify, watch it all on YouTube, subscribe, follow, do all the good stuff, all right? I am terrible at this, and I will continue to be terrible at this.
Yep.
However, it is still important I say it, because we just simply can't say it enough.
You need to throw up the stat saying how many people are and aren't subscribed.
Oh, yeah.
And tell them you want it to go hard.
99% of you watching
are following, though,
not
on Spotify.
Following on Spotify. That's probably accurate.
Okay, there you
go.
Yeah. Yeah. So go ahead and follow us.
Yeah, so Ali, we've actually known each other all for quite a while,
right.
We can kind of get into how we know each other. But I think what would be really good is if you tell us a bit more about like the start, like the history, like what was the early days,
Ali.
Ali before Ali A, right?
Yeah. So I've been doing YouTube videos now on YouTube for like 12 or 13 years, but before that. I was just a kid that quite liked games, hang out with his friends, like a very normal person. And actually, my parents kind of like tried to dissuade me from playing any games. They were like, no, you don't want to spend too much time inside, sat in front of a screen. And I think it kind of spurred me on a little bit more to want to play games more because it was like this thing you can't do. So I remember getting my friend that was a little bit older than me to get Call of Duty because I was a little bit too young and then started playing that and got a PlayStation.
Bad boy from the start.
So yeah, playing games that like were huge at the time, but I was a little bit too young to play. And I think the thing that really captured my interest in actually filming gaming videos was just the ability to share these gaming moments online because I actually had a lot of friends that we'd meet up, play a bit of tennis on Saturday, go back to one of our houses and actually play games together. And those moments were so fun. If you're playing Smash Bros, whatever it was, and someone did something really cool, you guys remembered it and you could talk about it for, you know, forever. Yeah. But it was limited to that group of people in that time, in that space. So at the time, there was no equipment that was actually built or designed or marketed to record gaming consoles. So I bought a thing called, I'm sure you guys remember, the Dazzle.
Yeah. Dazzle.
And that was actually marketed as a way of capturing, I think, your VCR player.
Yeah.
Or VHS player. And then you'd get all these cables and put them in, whatever. And then you'd do that, but for your gaming console. And I bought this bit of equipment, started recording gaming highlights, and it's just been this quite... I do have a lot of subscribers now, but I feel like my evolution from starting to upload videos to now has been a really nice progressive one.
Okay.
Rather than, you know, there's a lot of channels now that blow up and get millions, tens of millions in like a few years. That very sharp exponential growth.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel quite fortunate that I've sort of been in this space for a long time, still here, still really enjoying it.
So your name wasn't actually Ali A though at the beginning days?
No. My name's Alistair, and that's everyone knows me as.
Wait, your real name is Alistair?
Yes.
Did you not know that?
Yeah. That's a name.
You're not Ali?
No.
Well, he is. You are kind of.
So what's with the second A?
So my actual name is Alistair, spelled A-L-A. My mum actually didn't want anyone to call me Ali. She just was like, I'd want you to be Alistair. Yes, exactly. And then my second name begins with A. And at the time, I think it all started in primary school. You know, Ali G.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah, I think it was my friends just Sacha like, Boren. You're Ali A.
Yeah. Sacha
and Boren. And,
wait,
they
really?
Just started calling me that. Yeah, I think that's where it started.
Wait a minute. Yeah. So hypothetically speaking, you need to give up some of your rights.
Your naming rights.
That's so weird.
I think that's how it started. And then I had groups of friends that would call me Ali, groups of friends that would call me Alistair. And then, everyone online knows me as Ali, really. So
Ali A.
And, wow. But what was the history of, wasn't there something else like Matrox?
Matroix, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Your YouTube channel is called Matrox, right?
Well, my channel was created in 2006. Like, I think that's only a year after the site had gone live. It was very, very early on, basically. My friend had been bugging me. He was like, YouTube's going to be huge. Like, all of these celebrities are signing up to it. And I'm like, I don't care. And then eventually I made an account. And the name, this is such a weird story. I bought a Nintendo DS. And you know the bottom screen was a touch screen.
Yeah.
When you create... when you first turn on your DS, it tells you to enter a name.
Yeah.
And I tried to type in Metroid... And I just couldn't type very well on the screen. And I typed out Matrox. This is sick.
It actually sounds like a really cool name. Yeah.
Have you ever said this anywhere publicly?
Maybe once or twice. Okay. But then I just kept that online alias for a few different things very early on. So my YouTube channel was Matrox. So if you go on YouTube and type in youtube.com/Matrox, my page loads
up.
Yeah.
Did that friend that got you into YouTube though, do you still friends with him?
Not really. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, he was kind of within a friendship group that I had. I have like quite a few different friendship groups from different spaces. And he kind of was on the outer edge of one of the friendship groups. And he's married now with kids. I don't even think he lives in England anymore. But we used to, when we'd spoke maybe every now and then years ago, joke about the fact that this guy basically
got you
started
into it,
my YouTube channel. Crazy. He did. So yeah, that's how it all
started.
That's
so funny. Yeah. Wow. And then from there, it was just... making videos. Was there like a specific turning point where you were like, oh wow, this is like, I'm making money now, like I can make this my job? I feel like I remember this is coming just from my brain, but you kind of stuck with your parents for like quite a long time. Like if I go back to when I first started and I remember you were doing it, you were like in your bedroom still quite big.
I mean, are you still in that bedroom?
No, I don't even know what's in. I don't even think there's a bed in that bedroom anymore. I don't know.
But you know what I mean, right? You kind of stuck with your roots like for quite a while.
I think, you know, when you're a YouTuber and things are going well and you're young, when you're in that grind, all you think about every day is what video am I going to make and how am I going to make it? So I didn't really care where I was. And
change is also scary.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And like, I really need something big to push me to make a change happen.
Right.
So, you know, being in my bedroom in my parents' house worked out really well. So I stayed there for a while.
Worked. But
yeah, like in the early days, I was a massive nerd, I guess. Like I would just sit on like gaming forums quite a lot and like type loads on there and spend a lot of time on forums.
Right.
And I don't really think, I guess Reddit's kind of a forum, but forums aren't really a big thing anymore.
No, not nearly as big as they used to be. They're still around. But
yeah.
I think like Discord, stuff like that. It's like kind of
a new spaces,
right?
Isn't it? Yeah. For communities. So I'd spend a lot of time on there and I got heavily involved, and I can't even remember how this happened. I got heavily involved in competitive Nintendo Wii like gaming. So
I did not know this was a thing.
I thought it was Call of Duty, dude. I'm so off.
So you've got to think, like, back in the day, you know how well the Wii sold? Like, yes, like, there weren't loads of Wii videos online because there wasn't a space to put them. But loads of people were playing on the Wii. So these communities existed, but in forums. So I remember the very first game that was online for the Wii in Europe was Mario Strikers Charged Football. And I got this game and got heavily invested in the community. And it was a game where there was a lot of bugs and glitches in the game. So rather than just shooting, you could do these crazy trick shots where you'd bounce the ball off the wall, chip it over the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper would just bug out and then you could run around him and like score. So it was really technical, even though Nintendo didn't design it that way at all. So I would basically like set up all these clan battles and I think that inspired, like, because a few of them were recording their content.
Yeah.
And I think these guys were on the cutting edge of, like, anyone doing it. And I was like, oh, how are you doing it? And then that's how I heard about the Dazzle. And we started sharing, like, our highlights with each other. I use my YouTube channel as a place to put that. And if you go on my channel, my first ever video is actually my laptop, the webcam on the laptop, you know, the front-facing one, sat in front of my tiny CRT monitor. I had to like stand up to play whilst it was recording. I couldn't see a screen recording footage of me playing Mario.
Dude, it's so funny.
Like it's like I've been around in this space really like since the beginning.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, it's funny how I feel like most big gaming YouTuber stories are similar.
Yeah.
I don't know how your story went, but
I think Ali's is fairly unique. Though.
It's fairly. I mean, every story
it goes
is unique,
but Ali's goes back to like the core of gaming, but the overall theme's pretty similar of like being into gaming, playing, doing some weird
sharing
stuff.
Sharing online, showing
but
your friends.
But yeah, you like competitive Wii sports?
Yeah, the Wii thing kind of surprised me. When did you make this switch to Call of Duty? Because I used to watch that stuff.
Yeah.
I was one of the first members, man. I was the OG.
So, I was playing like loads of Wii games and then I'd go into school and that wasn't really cool. Like, a lot of people had Wiis, but like it wasn't the coolest thing. Like, gaming wasn't like, everyone games now. If it's on their phone
it definitely, like gaming and especially gaming on YouTube was not cool for a really long time.
Yeah. Were you being bullied?
No, I don't. There's a few articles online that said I got like really badly bullied and stuff. I never got bullied.
Where do you think that came from?
I think someone just made it up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Making things up online?
Yeah. No. I definitely got my fair share of people and friends just like taking the piss and being like, you know, this is such a weird thing you're doing. Like, I remember when I would record my videos, it was first of all just gameplay, then the introduction of like me talking, and then it took ages to show my face. But when I was recording videos, like I'd go into my bedroom, close the door and try and like hope my parents were out the house, and then just like whisper into the microphone, like, guys, I'm playing Mario today. Because like my parents were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you
talking
about?
They just had
no
concept of what
it was. No, it made no sense.
God.
But I think throughout what I've done, if I've ever had this like niggling feeling in my head that what I'm doing, I think like could be something, or like I really enjoy it and I don't care what anyone says about it, I'm just going to keep doing it. And like creating YouTube content and playing games, doesn't matter how much my friends took the piss out of me, you wouldn't stop me doing it. Like I knew I was onto something. I didn't care how like much I'd get picked on for it.
Are there still friends today?
Two of my friends that I went to school with, I'm still really close with, and they were both, actually had 3-4 best men at my wedding. And those two guys were two of those. And so, yeah, like, again, I've got like a mixture of friendship bubbles that spread out over different spaces and different people. But
and none of them have tried to become a YouTuber either.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yes. So shout out another Josh. Do you know Elam?
Yeah, yeah. So I met him at a... I met him recently.
Yeah.
At a...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sidemen after party.
Yeah. So he is now in quite into this space. And yeah, he was Elon one of my Musk. Best men as well. No, not Elam.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Sorry. I was like, well, he's a gaming YouTuber, dude. Let's go.
So some people have followed me in the space, but not many people. I think, they all just didn't really see what I saw.
Interesting. So that's a pretty good summary of the past, right? Mm. Coming forwards to now, though, you've been through a lot as a creator. Like you've had a lot of controversies.
Yeah.
You've been made into a meme.
Yeah,
multiple times. Yeah. We'll get into that later on and that sort of stuff. But one of the earlier issues that you had was like actually transitioning just from playing Call of Duty to Fortnite. Like, and I didn't realize that was actually as big of a deal as it was until I was sort of looking up some stuff.
We researched.
Nice.
Yeah, like 5 minutes ago. But
quickly,
what about Ali? Can I?
but that was like a. So that, what was that like? Because you just played Call of Duty for the longest time ever. A new game comes out, but then you're like you're rinsed for it.
Yeah. So I mean, I think the good thing is that transition wasn't the first time I had jumped between games to make content.
Okay.
So, and I think out of everything that happened during my Fortnite success, from memes, from people hating the fact that I played that game and left Call of Duty to whatever else happened, I'd had so many versions of those experiences before that I could deal with it quite well. So as I said, like I played Nintendo games and then jumped to Call of Duty, and then I made a second channel and made a load of Minecraft videos, and then Pokemon Go blew up and I played that game, and I went back to Call of Duty for a bit and then on to Fortnite. So I'd had a lot of games fall off and die down and had to adjust and play other things, and then saw success in that space. And I knew that you do have to leave behind another game or another audience, and
is that
not
true
like
though?
It.
Is
like,
it true? So you're talking to two gamers here who kind of play a lot of stuff.
I think for me, stick
to one thing.
A lot, but my channel also has always come from being quite good at the game. No offense.
Hold on a sec. I'm not saying
you're bad at video games, but like back in the COD days, everyone would be like, "What's your best class setup? Like, you know, what's the latest?
What's your KDR?"
Exactly. It was high, like 4-5 KD.
Really?
I think on COD Ghost at one point I held a 7.5 KD.
Which, by the way, is a kill-death ratio.
Yeah, don't really talk about that anymore,
right?
Do they?
So it's the amount of kills you get per death, essentially, right?
Yeah, so I sweated a lot.
I bet you were terrible, weren't you?
Yeah, I just...
Did you play much COD?
It's those big hands of yours.
I played like a bit and I was just like, I'm bored.
Fair.
Yeah. I thought it was fun, but I always ended up... I loved like playing...
Mario Kart.
No, so I was about to say zombies, but I didn't...
Yeah.
Like, I would be the one that would like play Rust... zombies like with other people where it's like the fake version where you get one person
addicted. COD is like the
you're
first
a big
game.
COD
what was I'm your a big experience COD guy. Through watching my content like what were you playing and like were you playing zombies multiplayer and what were you
no
watching
I was
before?
Doing mostly well you know I was watching I grew up in like the phase days right
so
you had more like informative type content at the
100%.
Same time you know chasing nukes type of things you know you'd watch you know oh look at me I got 70 kills in a team deathmatch I'd be like all right let's have a look at this let's have a look at this you know.
And did you look at Ali like he was a pro?
Dude, I actually have a funny story about so I already knew about you at the time and I already you know watched your stuff, but when I started doing YouTube And I passed 100K subs. I started like my own little merchandise thing. So I literally bought 100 t-shirts with my logo printed on it. And I rented a little unit where quite literally me and my brother would pack the orders.
Yeah.
And then we'd bring them to like a mail order service where they would ship them to the customer. Now, there was a guy working there and he was asking like, oh, well, so what do you do? And I'm like, so I'm a YouTuber, right? So like, these are like people who watch me. They, you know, they wanted to buy a t-shirt. They're like, oh, that's cool, but I bet you're not like that Ali A guy. And that offended me. I was like, yo!
What do you mean? Like, you just want like me?
I don't know what he meant with that, but I guess he was a big
jelly up at night for years.
It's weird. When I was doing research, like just you know a little bit, I just remembered this.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Jelly's hitting 20 million subs. He's like, 20 million subs, it's great, but I'm just not like Ali A.
Well, when you did that video, I think you hit 10 mil subs, and you were like, roast me for it.
Yeah,
and obviously I'm like.
Oh my god, we need to talk about that.
I don't do that kind of stuff online. Like, I'm nice and I'm happy and like I don't roast people, I don't get involved in drama, but you told me to roast you. So I sent this video like, ha, you never get more subs than me. Soon as he overtook me, all of my mentions were like, Jelly overtook you.
Let's explain a little context. So when Jelly hit 10 million subs, you reached out to some of your friends, well probably all of your friends.
Well, yeah.
That was like about the limit.
YouTubers and...
But that was about everyone you could contact.
Yeah, like literally 10 people.
and you said, I want you guys to roast me for the video.
Yeah, like, hey, do you want to be in my video? I have this theme. Like, I think it would be funny if YouTubers would make fun of me for hitting 10 million subs because you're cooler than me.
Like, I remember him showing me your clip.
Yeah.
And me thinking, because I obviously knew you. I still knew you pretty well at that point.
Yeah.
And I just remember like, I just remember watching it and being like, oh my God. I don't want to, I only say this because I know you, but I just was like, it's so not you.
Yeah.
You're like sitting there like genuinely like looking, so you're smiling, like happy, and then trying to be mean. And I was like, oh my
God. I don't
goodness.
Remember my reaction to it, but
so
I don't
funny.
Remember.
Was,
that
oh
so
God,
funny.
That was.
That's hilarious.
That is good. Actually, funny enough,
Stepping back a step.
Yeah, yeah. We've talked about the past, but going back to the past.
Yeah.
How did we meet? And it was quite a long time ago.
Probably at an event, I think.
I haven't like thought about it. Right. I haven't prepped this. That's why it's just come to mind. Because I'm saying I've known you for a while, but we haven't actually told the viewers
I think one of the nice things about having been in YouTube space for so long is that I have connections and could go out and message and hang out with so many different people in the YouTube space.
Yeah.
From cars. I follow a lot of cars stuff. To gaming vlogs, like there's lots of people out there, but I think we probably met doing some sponsored
was it like
work
a brand
together.
Deal? Yeah, it wasn't a
Ubisoft.
We did
the Overwatch. Or, do you remember that the Overwatch tournament?
Yeah.
Oh, that one you guys was talked about and that was really bad.
Which one?
No, he's just trying to stir.
All right. Let's. Anyway.
Hey man.
Yeah, no, I think maybe it might have been.
We're supposed to have
there.
The closer relationship here because we're sitting on the sofa.
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny. So our relationship is kind of been like sort of seeing you and then not seeing you for ages and then see you another thing. But we would never have like control over the fact that we were going to be seeing each other again. And it kind of kept going like that really. And that's kind of just
guess,
over a really long time frame.
I guess we met at events sometimes in
LA. We weren't really
or...
talking about you though.
Yeah. You were still watching my videos back then. But I think like
finally he's roasting me. Finally he's grown up. He's grown up.
I think like
grown taller too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Just getting taller
he's
taller.
So obsessed with the height thing. Just try and move on.
I think the thing is with our gaming space is that we would meet each other and other creators every year consistently because we will go into gaming events like E3, Gamescom, sponsored events. And ever since COVID hit and those real life events...
Gone.
Like went away, everything's online. Like I don't really get invited out to anything
Me
anymore.
Me neither, man.
And it's like
it's
we used
changed.
To be flying
it's
every
changed.
Month to LA, New York, Europe. It
it's
was like
boring
constantly.
Now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit boring.
And I quite like that push of like, I'm going away for 5 days here.
And
got
you
to
meet
grind.
So many interesting
and then,
people, right?
Yeah. I think it would spur that enthusiasm and inspire you a little 100%. Bit more when you talk to other people in person and you can just get so much more from them than even being on like a Discord call or sending a few DMs. So I definitely miss hanging out with people and miss hanging out with you guys.
Well, you're here.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here, man. It's but
I mean, okay, I think it's time we got into some of the cool, the juicy bits.
I need to quickly interrupt this podcast session, okay? Because Josh Slogo, my dear friend, I actually have a little surprise for you.
That's funny, Jelly, because I actually also have a surprise for you. You ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
Oh. I've got a new shirt, Josh.
That looks really cool, Jelly.
And I have one for you.
Wait, what? Thanks, Jelly.
Comfortable, isn't it?
I think so.
Josh, we finally have our first sponsor on this show, Two Thirds.
And I'm actually proud it's something that I think is really cool.
True Classic is your one-stop shop for men's fitted shirts, pants, athletic wear, and loungewear. And it's comfortable, which is the most important part.
They have pre-assembled outfits to make shopping and styling a breeze and a fit for every season.
Now, Josh, do you want to know why yours is so comfortable? They have layered looks that are custom fit for your body.
It's function meets fashion, Jelly, and I think we've actually got some more here.
Oh my God! True Classic actually sent us like a huge care package. So I've got three layers on, and I've also got a hat, and our whole team actually has True Classic fits as well.
Woo! Thanks, True Classic!
And these are durable, premium quality fabrics that are built to last.
Mm-hmm. They look good, feel good, and also do good, Josh.
Nice. Go click the link in the description and use the code 2/3 to get 25% off site-wide.
Go to the website, help out our sponsor. I'm so proud of us, Josh, that we actually have our first sponsor. And you know, it's comfortable. Do I look good? Yes. Do I feel good? Yes.
I mean, you couldn't think of a better first brand deal to get for the podcast,
know,
right?
I know, man.
Like, we sit here wearing stuff all the time, and I'm not going to lie, Jelly, sometimes our fits...
Yeah,
they
that's right.
It.
Yeah, I think people might have noticed that I'm just wearing the same stuff all the time. Mm. And now, because of their care package...
We've got more than we could ever need. We could shoot 100 episodes now.
All right, 2/3 for 25% off site-wide. It says it on the wall here.
Yeah, I don't think there's a slash in it, though.
No slash.
No, it's just 2/3.
Just
for the
2/3.
Code.
It's in the description. Just go help them out. Thank you, True Classic, for sponsoring this episode.
The first one I sort of think would be good to talk about is the intro.
Yeah.
The intro. The Alley 8.
You're not even close, Jelly.
I thought you watched my video.
Hey, man. Sorry. I'm used to the old outro with the little circle spin.
Yeah. Okay, you saved that.
So that intro became a meme. And
yeah.
But what, first of all, where did the intro come from?
So
did someone make that for you? Do you like know who they are?
Yeah, well, like the thing is, again, I think in a lot of people's heads, my YouTube career started from Fortnite.
Yeah.
And like I'd been in this space for so much longer. And prior to Fortnite, I'd always had like an animated video that would play for a few seconds. And I love like EDM music and like upbeat songs. Mm-hmm. So I'd go and get permission to use those tracks.
he's chirping you, isn't he?
So these tracks I was using in my videos, like I like that kind of music, but it was obviously
and
like
you put the volume to the
for it to clip. You love that.
No, he didn't do that. That was the meme.
Jelly, shush, let me explain my story. This is a big moment for me.
He needs a slap on the bottom, mate. Come on,
so prior to like this, the intro blowing up, I'd always had a really cool clip because Call of Duty videos were only like 3 or 4 minutes back then. And like maybe I'd go like 20-0, but nothing crazy happened.
Can you stop?
Chill.
What is wrong with you?
I'm just, the moment you mentioned really cool clip, I'm just thinking about some of the intros. It's like, yo guys, there's a new update.
Okay,
I do that all the time.
We used to do that, Jelly. I don't know what you're laughing about.
But the funny part is that it's a meme, right?
Yeah, a lot of people did it. Like on Call of Duty, I'd have like a crazy 360 like no scope, and then beat would drop, and the intro would play, and people loved it. Like it was actually sick back then. But obviously,
it didn't age.
Yeah, and the issue is the track. I think itself was a bit obnoxious. Like, like no offense to obviously the track blew up, but I'd actually told my editor, like, I don't think we should use this track anymore. I think it's a bit too heavy. And because he'd often get a library of music and he'd just pick out music and I'd let him just use it. So that track, I was like, we need to probably swap in one that's a little bit more chill.
Right.
And then that is the intro video, the intro and the music they picked. Because I wasn't just using that music. I was using lots of different tracks every video.
Yeah.
But that's the one that blew up. And yeah, I think that was all thanks to PewDiePie, to be honest with you.
So PewDiePie made it. So PewDiePie made a video.
It's funny.
Jelly watched it before this episode and was just funny. Laughing.
So I think it's funny. Like I can look at I genuinely, even at the time I looked at it, I was like, it is funny. Like it's, some of them are really offensive with like the clips they're playing and then my intro playing. But I get it. It's funny, but I think, and like I have talked to PewDiePie a few times and met him in real life. He's quite off social media now, so I haven't talked to him in years. But I think, and this comes from like genuine thought, like I think he was kind of upset with how well Fortnite was doing, and he didn't like Fortnite. Like I just don't think he enjoyed it. And I think I was matching him for subscribers and views at that time. I don't think he looked at me and thought, oh, like this Ali A guy doesn't deserve. I don't think he looked at it and was like, I hate this guy. But I do think he felt like the Fortnite space was getting more views than he thought maybe it deserved.
Yeah, sure.
So for him to get into the Fortnite space, he made those videos because that video wasn't just me. It was very much focused around Fortnite.
Sure.
And it was his way of getting into that space. And obviously it bounced off all the other Fortnite videos that were big at the time.
Were you like low hanging fruit then, do you feel like?
I think like I was the biggest guy in the space.
It was you and Ninja.
Always going to go for people in the space. And he probably did think the intro was funny, to be fair. But like some of the comments he made were just a bit odd. Like, oh, it's a 20-minute Fortnite video and he doesn't tell you what it's about until a 20th minute. And I'm like, that's not, I'd normally tell you what was happening in the first 1 minute, but the game of Fortnite's 20 minutes and we just wouldn't really cut them down. There was a few things that he'd pick at, and if you went on any YouTube channel and cherry picked something that would fit the message you were trying to put out there, you could make it fit. And there's a lot of valid things, but a lot of things that I'm like,
it's interesting. So he kind of did what he criticized you of. So where it was like, because he exaggerated the reality.
Yeah.
And maybe were being accused of exaggerating the reality.
I mean, obviously he talked about bigger things than just like the intro and the length of video and what was going on in the content. I think I look back at the videos back then and like, as I said, I think this comes back to like when I was in school and people were like, ha, you're playing games and talking over it. That's weird. Mm. Didn't care. And people at the time were like, you're probably pushing your title and thumbnails and content a bit too far. I didn't care. Mm. And I think definitely some cases went too far. And it was just like, you're getting 4, 5, 6 million views a video. It just felt incredible. Yeah, it's like, why wouldn't I do this?
I think you were also in the same boat of us for all, because you are similar to us in that we are high upload volume channels. We tend to do at least a piece of content a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that changes the dynamic a bit.
Yes.
When you do that, I don't want to say there's less thought that goes into things, but you almost take more risks.
Yeah.
You don't take enough time to reflect on things.
Because you want to just move on to the next one, right?
I
think that partially has something to do with it. And it's potentially where the criticism of, PewDiePie's gone, it's kind of the opposite. He's almost overthinking everything in a sense to create the content. It's
It's a weird one. And like without having the video in front of me and like actually addressing every point, I think some of the clickbait went too far, but I think it was a really weird time where if you put a red arrow on a thumbnail, people would say it's clickbait.
Yeah,
it's
I remember those days.
The Fortnite Reddit would roast you if you had a perfectly fine thumbnail, but there was a red arrow on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's just a good thumbnail. You know what I mean?
Which is,
and if it's accurate.
Changed.
Showing the CTR stats,
and
man.
I'm like, I can see, I'm very much a numbers guy and I'm seeing this data and the CTR, which is the click-through rate, which is how strong the thumbnail and title is, was obviously insane. But if my video was completely off the mark and wasn't representative at all, the average view duration would have been awful.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. Like people were watching 50, 60% of a 20, 25-minute video. So my audience enjoys it. Maybe PewDiePie or whoever else made video at the time didn't enjoy it, and their audience don't enjoy it. But you're not my audience, so like I don't really care.
I mean, I might be speaking for myself as well, but the argument there is that it's just made for kids.
Yeah, but I think the whole thing, your audience of kids, is such a weird thing to say.
I mean, like, why
I don't care who watches my
games.
Videos, as long as they enjoy it.
But so on your content though, do you feel like you pander towards a younger audience?
Yeah, I think so. I think almost without realizing it.
Yeah.
I think
so. Your content is family friendly. Doesn't have mature themes.
And you really wanted them to get into EDM.
I was like, yeah, I will force these tracks down their throat in every video.
Is that something that you feel like represents your actual personality?
I think so. I don't think I'm too different off camera. I mean, I do swear in real life, which some people just, their mind will be blown.
Yeah.
Can we get one?
Can we get one? It's like he's not a monkey in the zoo, Jenny.
Like, yeah, I do swear in real life, but
maybe you'll swear later on this video. They'll just have to have good audience
attention. Exactly.
You gotta hype it up until the end.
I think I was brought up where my parents like really didn't like swearing, and obviously the older you get, and when you're with your friends, you do. But also because at the beginning, like again, going right back to the beginning, the only people that were watching my videos were probably family that found out I was doing it and close friends. So I'm like, if I am portraying someone that's like shouting, swearing and doing things that I don't think my family or parents would like, then they're going to watch my videos and be like, you okay?
You were so early on the train. You were still having to convince people what you're doing is like, is even like a sane thing to do.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be swearing and you know, going crazy in the videos if you're still also at the same time being like, yeah, this is like a legitimate real thing. Please support me in this.
And Ninja had a big moment where he went from being crazy hyper ninja, swearing, being manic to being family friendly.
There's some good memes there too.
And that was a big moment for him. But I didn't have to make that transition. And I think it served me really well where my ads have never been affected by swearing. You can be 5 years old or 50 years old and like my videos are fine to watch. And I'm very conscious that like often parents come up to me and they're like, oh, my kid was watching your video at breakfast this morning. And parents are also listening to what
the
kids are watching as well.
Yeah.
And I think like during the Call of Duty days, I was... There's a moment, and not
there's
to go
some videos
too off topic, but like during the Call of Duty days, I was very quiet. And like I had this persona being like, hello guys, and welcome to a new COD video. That was it.
And
then I had a huge boom in Black Ops 3 where I kind of realized that the more energy I had in the video, the better it would do. And it just, and I would just go mental.
Yeah,
like,
but so I think
shouting.
So many creators had that.
I haven't had that.
You've always had that.
More energy?
Jenny, your permanent state is loud. Like, if you had a volume button, it would be constantly maxed out.
Yeah, I don't know if my ears will work. Seriously,
go out anywhere with him and, like, sit down in a restaurant and to the point where Sana, right, will be sitting next to him and be like, Jelly, you're too loud. Like, the person that spends the most of the time in the world with him hasn't gotten used to it.
At least I'm being myself.
At least he's being genuine. Unlike you, Ali.
It comes back to being genuine.
No, I'm kidding. I
think it is a reflection of me. Like, I think the main things are, like, I'm super happy and positive.
Yeah.
And I think those are the things I try and portray. Whether or not the energy levels are high or low or whatever it is, I think that is a good reflection of me.
It's an exaggeration of yourself.
Maybe not an exaggeration. I think it's just it's a higher intensity version of yourself.
Right.
Which is not, I don't think that's the same for everyone, though. Mm. I think there are actually plenty of creators out there
ASMR
that are aren't who they normally
fair enough
right oh. So like the energetic craziness that might be a complete show
you know?
And it's funny for me as a creator, I haven't actually been that good at doing the crazy stuff.
He's always been the calm guy in the bag. That's why it took him a while to really get.
Do you say, have your energy levels come up at all, or do you just have that kind of like recording level?
I mean,
that you're happy
with? Have an increase in energy in the content, but
did I drop my phone?
Yeah, I think so. But I wouldn't say that it. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, the viewers, if you ask the viewers, I'm sure that someone will say you changed. You know, it's like a common theme for any YouTuber. But it's always been not nearly as exaggerated as like other people.
Yeah.
And it's not for lack of maybe trying. I probably could have been more successful if I had done it. It just has never felt natural to me.
Just like you'd never made the diss track. Then.
Exactly.
Oh, did you not do any? No. But you and Queb did.
Yeah, me and Queb, we went through a diss track phase. Did you do any diss tracks?
But again, that's just not me. Like, no. Can you imagine if I called someone out and I'm like, what do I do?
You are not nice.
I hate you.
Oh, no, that's the hate word. It's also too far. Ooh. I don't like you because you smell like apples.
I just sat back and let that happen. The Sidemen diss tracks, your diss tracks.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't get dragged into any of those, did you? No one ever.
Oh, have you been dissed? I mean, have you been diss tracked?
But you haven't been diss tracked, but you've been.
Have you been dissed?
Well. So you've had a couple other videos made on you. So you had a Sunny V2 video, and then there was a Penguins video.
Yeah, I joined the club recently, man.
Yeah, Jelly had been Sunny V2'd as well.
Oh, I thought you meant you'd done a video exposing me. I was like, oh, I've missed this. What?
That's this.
No.
Don't get it. No, but yeah.
So starting on the, because we'll get to Sunny V2 one, because it'd be interesting to talk about some other bits with that.
Sure.
So the Penguin one's the one I know least about.
Same. And I looked it up because you guys like sent some things over before the podcast. I'm like, oh, this did happen.
Yeah.
And so that guy's channel's killing it. And I'm like, I don't really know who he is, to be honest.
So his name is
Club Penguin.
No.
Everyone on Club Penguins gathered together. We're like,
this is where quit. Jelly goes, oh yeah, I did read the notes. And
I saw his name. I was like,
what's his name? Charlie. There's another name he's got though, isn't it?
Yeah. Charlie Chocolate Factory?
Oh my God.
Club Penguin.
So
Penguin.
He made a video sort of, his criticism was a lot more based around the, I think he said on there about like competitions and stuff.
Yeah, I rewatched it again because I couldn't remember what he talked about.
No, it was that, wasn't it? And then there were some winners, but he couldn't.
But then, like, confirm that you'd given prizes. I'm watching this video now, and I'm like, dude, you're not showing any proof on screen of anything you're saying.
But that's those videos in general; they don't actually talk about anything.
But doesn't he? He actually said in the video, like, he couldn't find any proof that you had given winners a prize.
Yeah, I think it was a weird one because I think we did do competitions back in the day, but a lot of them were partnered with. Brands like Turtle Beach or Elgato or something. So I'd like launch the competition and then be very hands off.
Right.
So it's up to them to sort that out. So,
so you never had
like
a hand
back in like five videos later and be like, oh, remember what I, you know, remember this giveaway? This is the winner. So
it's probably good that you're clarifying that.
Everyone got their awards.
Of course. And yeah, we still do giveaways to this day. I think it's one of the best ways to give back to the community, especially when I get sent so much. I'm like, don't bother sending me a lot of this stuff anymore. Like, let's just reinvest that back into my community as well.
There's some regulation regarding giveaways nowadays.
I think it's quite strict.
Is it?
I think probably you have to do like T's and C's and stuff like that. Or
so are you allowed to ask for people to subscribe in order to join the giveaway?
That's a good question. We don't really do that anymore, but I guess you could do like Gleam links and stuff where it's included within there.
Mm.
But I think it's now like visit a channel rather than subscribe to a channel.
Mm.
But yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, changed
so a then, lot. Then there was the actual time frame is all over the place. We're not actually doing this in order. But
I can't remember the order either.
There's a Sunny V2 video. Do you remember when that came out?
Yeah, I don't think that was that long ago. I think it's kind of like, I'm irrelevant, basically. I think quite kind of similar to yours, just like, this is a person. I think he plays on the fact that people have seen us en masse at some point and then probably don't watch us anymore. Yeah. And those are the people he plays on.
Yep.
And it's normally the older audience that have grown up and are like, I don't really watch Ali anymore.
Yeah.
And the idea was that I was doing really well and now I'm not doing really well. But he kind of... The videos often contradict themselves, and it's like, oh, like look at Ali, he had 200 million views a month in his peak on Fortnite, but now he's only got 40 million. And then he'll literally say in the same sentence, oh, but all the other Fortnite channels are like this. And it's like,
But I think he doesn't want to take responsibility, and he also knows that
that's an interesting point.
And everything that he's saying is his opinion. I mean, he'll say,
but he tries to make it like it's not his opinion. So he'll use a comment to support something. But then
they said he's clickbaiting. I guess that's why his channel died.
Or he'll put a comment up on the screen that'll be like, I don't like Ali, and he'll be like, here's a comment from a commenter that said, I don't like Ali. This is proof why everyone hates Ali. Yeah. And it's like, whoa, hold on a second.
Yeah.
And it's a bit confusing on the approach, I think.
Yeah. I think the thing that I don't mind about those videos is that they often don't overlap with my audience, which is why I quite like staying towards the kid end in a way, because those people are served a very different collection of videos to the people that are probably watching these kind of other videos that are portraying often an inaccurate view of how I'm doing or who I am. So at least I don't like you know,
people who watch that type of content have grown out of your content.
Exactly. Yeah.
But recently though, and this is kind of a little bit of an add-on to the episode, but it depends on when this goes out, but Sunny V2's kind of just been exposed himself.
Yeah.
Damn, bro.
So now
it's our turn to make a video on him.
So it's
kept the video up?
I don't know if he's taken it down or whatever, but he basically has made a video and people have not been happy about his commentary on someone. And it's funny. Firstly, obviously, the 10 grand we paid for the hit pieces worked.
Oh. Right?
What?
Our hit pieces.
I thought we weren't
going to
mention
Sunny
this.
totally forgot.
I forgot about the 10 grand we
spent. We actually joked about
taking him down.
It's like happened.
Yeah.
No, but it's
all working. I thought it was a hitman. Apparently not.
Different type of hitman. But it's it's interesting though, because that the issue that he's had with that is that he's kind of put his opinion into something and then put his opinion out there, and everyone's gone, that's just like not right. Like that's a bad take. And it's kind of really blown back on him. And I think it's interesting because with your guys' episodes, it's kind of masquerading as like a documentary.
Yes.
When in fact, it's someone just commentating. Like,
he
may as well be surfing on CSGO. Like, that's the type of commentary it is.
Surfing on CSGO. Though.
Those are the kind of videos.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
That's what it started with, right? With creators doing that.
Those commentaries started with that. And I think this kind of actually sits in that category. But it because it's got this... It shows comments from fans and it's got this data.
Mm.
It constantly tries to portray itself as this.
And the way he talks and the speed of the video is a little bit slower than normal. And I think it's a good example of actually, I mentioned that my audience doesn't overlap with those kind of contents, with the audience actually starting to overlap and like giving their side of the story. And people, because Sunny V2 also did a video on Ninja saying he was irrelevant and towards the end of the video, he started just really ranting about how much he doesn't really like the guy. And I think sometimes he lets his own personal sort of opinions actually encroach a bit too much on the content. I think this is an example of it happening again and it actually kicking back on him.
This one's backfired hard though.
Yeah, this one backfired hard.
Be interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah.
So
I want to touch on one thing quickly, because I'm not sure who will be watching this. But I presume this may fall into a little bit of people who watch me now, but maybe a lot of people that did watch me.
Some of the past.
That's what I'm thinking is, and we mentioned it a little bit, and I didn't really answer the question when I jumped from Call of Duty to Fortnite.
Okay.
I think, as I said, like I did a lot of jumps, but I think what people don't really take into account is like my mental health as a creator and like, what am I enjoying? And like, this is my job. Mm. And yes, you've seen me play COD for 5 years, but like, I'm sick of it. Like back then I was like, my views are awful. Like my channel's in the worst position it's ever been. And I don't feel great about it. And then Fortnite came along and I'm like, I love this game. It's a new lease of life. And I like, my videos are doing amazing.
Mm. So it's kind of two things there. It's like, you found something that you think other people enjoy.
Yeah.
And it's like, also, it's kind of a big deal that I enjoy this.
Mm. Yeah, and at the end of the day, YouTube is a job, and I've got to take it seriously.
Yeah,
and
I really like that you brought that up,
so,
actually.
So, yeah.
Do you still enjoy Fortnite?
I do really like Fortnite, but that game's almost 6 years old, which is kind of crazy.
So if you had to say yes or no.
Yes, of course I still enjoy it. Okay. Like the fact that they update it every week is incredible.
Yeah.
And they hand you so much content.
Yeah,
every Tuesday I'm at my PC knowing I'm going to make a video.
Actually,
this was going to be on a Tuesday.
You said, no, I can't record on a Tuesday because of that.
That's the only thing I ever like. Tuesdays I always keep free because they alternate between a morning update and then they put content out in the afternoon the next week and then they bounce back to the morning. So Tuesdays I always keep free. But I think you've got to consider that these creators are also people, and maybe they're just not enjoying the content as much. Right. And like, I did actually make a COD channel when Warzone was huge during lockdown.
Yep, yep.
Loved Warzone. Like, me, Claire, and another couple, shout out Dom and Lottie, we would jump on Warzone almost every evening for months.
Wow.
And play from like 8, 9pm to like 2, 3am. And it was like our way of socializing, because we'd gotten into a really good habit just before lockdown kicked in of seeing people on the weekends and socializing. Yeah. And that was just stripped away from us as soon as we'd managed to build up the time, the free time to actually do that. Anyway, made a COD channel, and I just don't have enough time to run it anymore. And the views aren't crazy.
It was just for fun.
Just for fun.
Sometimes
like,
you gotta have a little fun.
I think
fun,
I lost money on that channel. Like, I paid the editors more than I'd make back on it, but I kind of try to build it to give back to those people that had said so much about like me leaving the game behind. And then I made the channel, and then even they'd left COD behind. I don't even think any of them exist anymore.
But
so.
you've definitely had some success though with second channels, which we could get into. Well, the last bit that I wanted to get into in terms of like the memes funny thing is we have to talk about the Diplodoculus.
That's such a weird one. Like,
this wasn't in the brief, bro.
No, I know. It's just kind of come back to me.
Yeah, so
the Diplodoculus.
When I was playing Fortnite, like, I hadn't played any battle royales before Fortnite. And right. I don't know if you guys remember, I don't know how much Fortnite you played back in the day, or PUBG or whatever it was.
Have you not watched my videos anymore? I still do, man.
You still play Fortnite?
No, I'm just messing.
But when you first start playing a battle royale, it's so intense.
Yeah.
Like when you're in top 10, like, my heart is pounding. Mm. And I'm like, oh my God, I've got to win this. So in the very early Fortnite videos, I would kind of just say things and play and not quite realize what I'm saying, because I'm just like, I can't multitask that well. So me and Rich, iTemp, we'd play loads of Fortnite together because it was really easy to get videos if you're playing with someone else. It was really good.
Yeah.
And they added a load of dinosaurs, and it comes back to your thing of making a video every day.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit low on video ideas, but they'd thrown in a load of dinosaur characters onto the Fortnite map.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why don't we do a video where we go and visit them, maybe mine them for, farm them for materials, and talk about the dinosaurs coming to Fortnite. So we played our usual game, and about halfway through, like, obviously it's not in the video, I'm like, okay, Rich, it's time to visit the dinosaurs. We jump on this golf buggy and we go around the corner. I'm like, it's a Diplodoculus. and then I think Laserbeam took that clip and used it loads in his videos and just blew it up.
Yeah.
And then that
did he ask for permission to get that?
Nah, I don't think so.
You claimed all of it.
What's that?
You claimed all of it.
You could have claimed his video, claimed his content.
I was thinking, what if, because I was really close to the music label that distributed the Ali intro track. I'm like, what if them with the music with the visuals just came together and claimed everything?
Yeah, and they actually definitely could have done that. Yes.
Yeah, I think
they didn't claim anything. You might have had a license.
But I didn't claim anything. Yeah. I let it flow. I think you'd get more kickback.
Maybe we should say what claiming is.
Yeah, that's a good point. You want to explain that?
Actually? Yeah, so basically you as a creator can claim content if somebody re-uploads your stuff. And what claiming means is that all the ad revenue comes to you.
Yeah.
That's claiming. I think...
Which might have had a negative fallout.
Yeah. No, don't...
Creators would actually really dislike.
Yeah, it's definitely frowned upon in the community to do any level of claiming.
Yeah.
Between creators.
It's morally not okay.
As creators, we have enough problems with other companies doing it to us.
That's true.
The last thing we need is creators doing it to each other.
But there was, I think there's like a 10-hour Ali 8 intro meme video that literally has more views than my most viewed video, like 40 million views. And I think the record label claimed that video, which I hope they did because it would have made them a lot of money. So yeah.
Wow. Jesus,
that's
dude.
Such a nice guy. You had so many weird like memes and like videos made on you.
I think sometimes I'm really bad at being self-aware, and I think I still try and like still work on that as much as possible. But I think when I was younger and I never went to university, and all I was doing was in my bedroom in my parents' house making videos, and then I moved out with Claire but still didn't really see anyone. My ability to take a step back in the rat race of making videos every day and look at a piece of content or look at something I'm doing and think, is that cringy? Should I really put that online? There was no moderation.
Yeah.
So everything went on the internet. So if I ever slipped up or there was something that could be taken and turned viral like it did, I didn't really have the ability to really think it's that I shouldn't put that out there.
Interesting.
I've been using you a lot.
What do you mean?
I've been running around. I've been vibing. I've been shooting.
What, listening to the Ali A intro music?
No. Your Fortnite skin, dude.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's genuinely one of the coolest things I've ever done.
So and, you have a custom skin in the game Fortnite.
Yeah, so Fortnite have, I think now, about 1,500 different cosmetic, like, skins. Mm-hmm. And Fortnite have always been incredible, I think, at giving back to the community and really listening to the community and even thinking, what do creators want that doesn't exist already? One of the great examples of that is the supporter creator code, where they basically incentivize you, or the people watching content, to enter the code of the content creator you enjoy watching.
Support the creator.
And then 5% of all earnings, when that code's entered, just goes straight back to the person's code that you entered. Mm-hmm. And that was something Fortnite didn't need to do. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was a big deal in the early days as well.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they realized how successful it would be. And I think
didn't they do it like a triple week or a triple
they did
month?
A triple or quad one once.
Dude.
That's still my highest earning month ever on Supporter Creator.
Have you ever talked about any earnings like publicly?
No. I was thinking about this also today. Like, there are a lot of people out there that will talk about earnings and money and I just don't think it benefits me at all. Like,
no,
it's not going to make me, it's not going to make people watch me more if they know how much I earn or don't know how much I earn. And I also just think it just brings unnecessary attention.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we don't necessarily really do it ourselves, but we're not shy to let people do it on the podcast because I think it's quite interesting.
People
want
to flex.
Yeah, like, I'd love to be able to talk about it, and I watch a lot of podcasts.
Mental.
And it's not it's good. But I really enjoy when people are really open on podcasts.
I
think it's really insightful, but I just don't feel comfortable doing it.
No, I understand.
And I'm quite private about that. But yeah, Supporter Creator's done really well
for
me.
That quadruple month, man.
Yeah, so that's when they
panicked.
That's when
I bought my Lambo. Just kidding.
How many Lambos have, bro?
so the skin thing then.
Sorry, back to the skin thing. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So how did you get your own skin?
So yeah, so I didn't know I was going to get it. And I have a contact at Epic that always reaches out to me. And he's like my go-to guy to talk about things.
It's Epic.
And he set up a call and wrote out. And I thought it was a bit unusual. He wrote out a description of what we'd be talking about in the call. And he doesn't normally do that. And I'm like, okay. And it was just random things. Oh. Things that made sense, but it was a little bit random. And I get on the call and there's another woman in the call who I don't recognize. And I'm like, This is not.
Did you have like your own management, agent, or is it just you?
It was me, and I think my management were on the call, but they were quite hands off for this project.
Right.
So they helped sort of kick it off and then step back, and I basically took over because it was very much driven by me.
You wanted that creator direct relationship anyway, I imagine, right?
And yeah, this call was set up, and then they turned around and they were like, this is, I think I can say her name, this is Jess. She actually heads up the icon project at Epic. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, you're getting your own skin. I'm like, yes. Like,
you must have lit up.
It was mental. I think only 5 creators had it at that point.
Right.
And I was in the next wave. And I think like creators will still be getting their own skins now that I don't know about.
Where's my
Jelly,
skin?
You don't play enough Fortnite. You don't play Fortnite.
Sorry, Jelly.
Can we just... It's not all about you, Jelly. We're focusing
Epic
on Ali today.
Epic, call me, man. I do it for free. I'd even pay for it. You know, that's fine. Like, give me my skin.
All right, tell you what, Jelly. Okay. If you give back all of your supporter creator funds...
Take that back.
Okay.
No.
Give me your supporter creator funds and I'll try and convince you. I can't guarantee anything.
But continue on with it. Because I think... So they basically just said, you're good to go.
Yeah, you're getting a skin and like... I'm not allowed to tell anyone. I think the only people I told was, I think technically may have even broken NDA by telling these people, but they never told anyone. It was my wife, obviously Claire, my main editor for my Fortnite channel, and he was so gassed. He was so excited, and maybe a few close friends, but I kept it super under wraps because...
For how long was that? Did you have to keep it quiet?
I think I got told in like May, June, and then it took a year for the skin to come out.
What?
They said initially it was going to come out at the end of a year, and then it kept on getting pushed back. But it
was
came
it
out.
So difficult to recreate you, or
I think the
is it
I,
the length?
I don't know what I can and can't talk about without talking too much, but basically think Epic are making so many skins and cosmetics, and now especially they're doing so many collaborations with brands far bigger than me, like NBA. They've done like LeBron James. They've got some other stuff coming out. They've done
so the time frames are moving.
Yeah, the time frames are moving. Okay. They've got all of even though Epic Games is massive, they have to manage who's working on what. So mine kept on getting pushed back. But that was such an exciting process.
So do you do you get paid then for when people buy your skin?
I've seen Laserbeam talk about this in a podcast, so I'll try and mimic what he said. They give you a bit of money up front for like the fact that you're getting a skin.
Okay.
And then you get paid after that basically through your supporter creator code. And I can't really say any more than that, but essentially if the skin does well and people are supporting you, you will see like an increase in your support created during the period.
There's no real negotiation. Like you get what you get kind of.
Yeah. And I don't think you can ever really negotiate with them on that.
No.
I think they've got their rules, and they told me at least that the way that I was paid is the same that every creator was paid, no matter if you were Ninja or Chica. I mean, no offense, Chica. She's an awesome skin, but she's not as big as Ninja. Like, it doesn't matter how big you are. Yeah, if you get an icon skin, you're paid in the same way.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The best way to negotiate is to tell the other party that you can't negotiate. But, I'm sure that there's been some big names of Fortnite. I'm sure that there's been...
There probably has been some...
But I get the vibe that, I mean, even knowing other people made money, I feel like you would have just been like, do it for free.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Exactly.
Totally, you're so passionate about it,
yeah,
right?
I think everyone that has been... Apart from Ninja, I think Ninja would have definitely wanted some money for it. But,
we have any beef? Or
No. I think he knew his value back then. Like, he was massive, right? Yeah. I think everyone would have done it for free. The fact they pay you as well is just like a huge bonus.
So, do you have your own Fortnite dance?
Yeah. But this is like,
do you not do your research again?
Jelly, I thought you watched my videos.
So what's your Fortnite dance then?
It's me on a Diplodoculus.
Oh, yes!
With the intro music playing.
I was trying to get there. Yeah, you know? I did my research.
I was kind of hoping you would get a emote of you doing the... You know when you reenacted the emotes? Yeah. I hope that they would do like a weird version of the floss.
Or something is the intro song there?
Yeah,
the intro song's on it, right?
If you get one more mistake, you're going to have to kick you off the podcast.
Sorry, you just really weren't interesting enough to do research on.
Oh, Jelly.
I'm just kidding.
He makes his laugh. We'll keep him
for The thing is, I feel like I know you very well, so I didn't have to do too much research.
Of course, yeah.
And then when there's when there's a guest on that I don't really personally know, we gotta do some
one thing
research.
I wanted to ask as well, and this might be just some random thing that I'm just pulling out of nowhere, and you're gonna go, what the heck? I remember a long time ago when we were hanging out for something, you said that you bought every Fortnite skin.
Yeah, I tried to keep that up, but I'm lacking on some. I don't even know where.
You've fallen off now.
Yeah, so it was 1,500 skins. I think I have about 1,450. But in my head, if I open up the item shop, I've bought, like, it's very rare anything comes up for me to buy.
And do you still try your hardest to buy everything?
Yeah, I still buy everything that comes up.
And have you ever estimated how much you've spent on Fortnite?
They're like 10 bucks each.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea? I mean, I'm sure if I asked your accountant, they'd probably figure it out. Yeah. They just pull out all of the Epic Games.
You can see the Epic Games payments. I think if you calculate this 1,400, we've tried to do this before, 1,400 skins, you've then got like umbrellas, wraps, music packs, everything. So it's not just skins you buy. I think the total amount maybe sits at around $20,000, $25,000.
No, it's more than that. It's more than that.
I don't know.
It's got to be more than that.
I'm actually surprised it's that much.
No, I think it's got to be more than that.
I think it's about that. It could be maybe 30, 40.
This is funny. This is a funny point.
But anyway, regardless, like...
The account's worth a lot of money.
$30,000, $40,000. I'm more saying this like so.
You're never
going to
be able to sell.
Jenny, we need a good clip for the short because this is so good.
$500,000 on skins.
No, but that's still that's still crazy. Like, that's
it is a lot of money,
money to spend a game, and more so that a kid could have spent that as well. Like, think about it. It's kind of crazy.
The price of a Fortnite skin has always seemed a little steep to me. Like, I think once you go from money to V-Bucks to the purchase, you kind of lose, you disassociate how much it is. And all gaming companies
do this.
That's
the whole point, right?
Yeah, of course. But ultimately, the game's free. It's up to you if you buy anything.
Have you ever been on discount?
What your cheaper? Skin?
No, I don't think your Fortnite skin. Because they so when you launch your icon skin, you get a moment in the store. And I think I was in the shop for like 10 days straight.
Wow.
And
that's quite long. That's,
yeah, it is really long. Whereas Ninja was in the store for like one weekend, I think, for 2 days when he first came out. So the good thing is each icon skin gets more than the last one. Mm. So I'm actually really happy. I would not change a thing about how my icon skin came out or when it came out. Like, I'm super happy with the launch.
Your one's quite complex.
Yeah, so...
You have, like... I remember this now. You've got, like levels to your skin.
Yeah, so I was so involved with this process. I'm like, I'm only ever going to get a skin once. Mm. So they would basically send out intermittent emails, maybe once every 3 to 4 weeks, and say, this is what we've done so far. Please give us some feedback or some direction. So when I jumped on the very first call, I made them a little PowerPoint presentation with what I thought everything should be.
You still have that?
Yeah, it's the worst PowerPoint in the world. But
so funny.
It's not the ideas I presented in that presentation is very close to what we ended up going with. Like, I think I had a really clear vision in my mind. And my goal was always ask for more. Like, ask for everything, and then all they can do is say no. Yeah. So when my skin came out and it had like 8 different styles, tons of different colors, all this customization. It's because I just asked for everything, and they were very fortunate enough to say, yeah, we've got some time to do this. Let's throw it in there. I just really went for it. And for all my feedback emails, I wouldn't just write up an email. I'd sit there, turn my face cam on, and basically record them a video being super specific. I was like, I don't like this color of blue here. I think this bit's a bit too big. I feel like we should be aiming for this for the final design. And I was so specific. Wow. There was no way that they could come back to me with anything that wasn't in my head because I told them exactly what I wanted.
I'm surprised to hear that. I thought it was just, you know, they make a skin for you. And
some
then
people do that.
You just gotta
some
accept
people literally
it.
Are like, I don't know what my skin is, and they'll send a few ideas and they pick them and then they go with it. But I was like, nah, this needs to be exactly
this
what
is
I
my
want.
Opportunity.
Yeah, this is my moment. So I was really hands-on with that process. Yeah,
damn.
So, and actually, I don't know if I can say this, but I filmed everything. So obviously I recorded videos for them for everything.
Yeah.
And in between each of the updates, I'd then record a mini vlog explaining what was going on. So the idea was I was going to release this really cool documentary that basically explained how they made my skin. And initially, it was all going to be signed off, and it was the first time that anyone would get a peek behind the scenes as to how they made a Fortnite skin. And then, like, just before my skin dropped, they were like, we don't want to do this anymore. So literally, like, hours of footage trimmed down, sat in my editor's PC, but we can never share it.
That's the unseen.
That was
footage.
A good idea.
I know. I thought I'd try and think ahead. I'm like, I've got the advantage of seeing everyone else launch their skin. What content can I do, and how can I forward think in a way that they wouldn't have been able to?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, the unseen release. Hashtag release the
release the
release
the
video. Release
release Ali A.
The skin.
Just release Ali A.
I'm stuck in the studio.
That
now. Doesn't.
Yeah, well, that it's a bit gives off a completely different.
But it's, you know, I know. But
it's clickbait.
It's clickbait.
Oh, it's on.
Yeah. On brand.
On brand.
So listen, Ali, you said I didn't do my research.
Okay.
All right, but I found
out. He's just
out.
Literally researched on his
phone. I found out you. It's actually, I think, the first of hopefully many.
Yeah.
Are a Guinness World Record holder.
Yeah. I actually saw them the other day in the garage.
Listen. I'm just going to read out some of these Guinness World Records because they are impressive.
Okay.
All right. Tallest staircase built in under 1 minute in Minecraft.
I thought you were going to say tallest YouTuber or something.
No. It is a height one.
Yeah.
Can you please tell us how you built the tallest staircase?
Yeah, so I mean, I think in total, I genuinely have maybe 6 or 7 Guinness World Record plaques.
No
but
way.
A lot of them are beaten now.
Yeah, but aren't they just a bunch of crap? Like, aren't they genuinely a bunch
of
shit?
I was filming. let me say my piece. So I was filming for a show called Gaming of Legends of Gaming years ago, and they brought in. Because to have a Guinness World Record, you need someone from Guinness World Records there to basically sign it off.
Yeah.
And they had this person in for the day, and they got permission to basically make up world records. So they were like, chop loads of wood, I think was one of them, or something.
How fast? Most blocks of wood collected in under 3 minutes in Minecraft.
There you go. And like tallest building and other things like that. So we had a few practice runs, maybe one or two. And then I just went for it. We filmed it. And I'm always going to get the Guinness World Record because I was the first person to do it. But I mean, technically, I don't hold that record anymore. But then some of them are cool. Like some of them I think are like... biggest, although I don't think I even deserve this one anymore, biggest Call of Duty channel in the world.
Was this before or after your Call of Duty?
This was probably like when Call of Duty was quite peak for me.
Okay, yeah, it's most popular Call of Duty channel by views.
Yeah.
Most popular Call of Duty channel by subscribers. And there's another one, all right? This is a long one. Highest score in offline team deathmatch using only the knife and combat axe.
And then, but I feel like
No. In Call of Duty Black Ops 3, team of two.
But the thing is like this is the crazy thing about them. I feel like you can make up any Guinness World Record, yeah, right? Any Guinness World Record. It could be like, let's just say I don't know, something dumb like...
No. We need to leave it open because maybe we can get a Guinness World Record jury as a guest one day.
But this is my point. Like, I could literally say the fastest 100-meter sprint ever, Guinness World Record.
No, but I'm sure that one's already claimed.
No. It's not claimed because I'm going to do fastest 100-meter sprint while eating a sandwich. No, I guarantee you that's not claimed.
Yeah,
and then I could go do that.
You'd be,
and then I will have the fastest 100-meter sprint while eating a sandwich. You can just add while eating a sandwich onto any of the records and forget.
Josh likes eating a sandwich.
I'm gonna make my own Guinness World Record book, which is just me doing every single record while eating a sandwich.
Most popular Call of Duty channel by views while eating a sandwich.
You have to make a few videos.
One view.
But you could just be like, from a guy named Josh.
I feel like you guys have brought these up just to say how useless they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the COD ones I was definitely really proud of at the time, and I think my content was 99% COD.
Oh, back then, I'm sure.
Yeah, like, you were like, really cool. Bro.
The other ones, yeah, bit of a stretch.
Yeah. Were you ever the biggest YouTuber in the UK?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm a massive, like, analytics junkie.
Yeah.
So I have tons of screenshots. I always screenshot like milestones from where I have peaked and had moments of where I'm like, I know this will probably never happen again.
Yeah.
One of those moments is peak Pokemon Go. So this is a great example of like just loving the game. Like I just love Pokemon, and you probably never would have known that if you watched my COD videos, but I was tweeting about the release of Pokemon Go before like that thing even blew up. And then it came out in Australia, I think, and I don't even know how I did it. I think I managed to change my app store to Australia and get the game early and made a video, woke up the next day, I'm like, holy, this is banging. And then I jumped on the Pokemon Go. Holy. And then I was like, this is banging. So for that first month of Pokemon Go, I think I was the second most subscribed channel in the world. I think PewDiePie beat me by like a few thousand. But I think in that month, back then, it just shows how much it's changed. Back then, the most subscribed channel in the world was PewDiePie of about 1 million.
Mm.
And I think I sat just under him at like just under 1 million.
Yeah.
Was now, I think, quite like channels get multi-millions of subscribers a month.
Yeah.
But can't even remember why I brought that topic up. But I always try and capture these like moments, these highlight moments. And
there's like, probably been plenty of milestones that you've actually achieved that just don't know that you were at that milestone at the time. Actually, the Pokemon Go thing is an interesting transition because, and I don't know how much you want to get into this, but something that people might not know too much is that in the past you've had some interesting issues with like privacy.
Yes,
about the Pokemon Go thing because that was a lot of vlogging in places, right?
Yeah,
because I remember back to when I saw you a long time ago, and that was like a big problem. Like,
before you touch on that, we should probably mention Pokemon Go is a video game where you have to actually physically be outside.
Yeah, so you play on your phone, you just go out, and
which is wild for gaming YouTube.
You have to walk around and find like eggs on your phone, which is kind of like a mapped area of your neighborhood.
Yeah,
you've had a pretty tough time with that, right?
Yes, I mean, transitioning content was weird because I'd go from sitting inside all day playing COD multiplayer to suddenly needing to pick up a camera and going outside. And you gain this weird level of like confidence when there's the camera in your hand and you're used to vlogging, and it built up. But now, having not vlogged outside in years, if someone gave me a camera to go outside and vlog, I'm like, nah, I'm too scared. Like, everyone looks at you. You just got to not care. I think because the views were so crazy back then, I didn't care. I'm like, I'm filming myself. Half the people on the street are looking at me. Yeah. I don't care. This video's going to get like 4 million views.
I don't care. I'm playing Pokemon Go. Yeah.
But that had a negative
effect.
Yeah.
So I think at the time we were in a townhouse and it was in like a little community of houses. So we didn't have too many issues, but people would definitely come and like knock on the door, or you see them wandering outside. But because there was a lot of neighbors at work from home, they'd kind of just like shoo them away. And like,
were they aware of who you were, what you did?
I think so. Yeah. Like at least that little community. But actually the worst of it wasn't Pokemon Go. The worst of it was Fortnite's peak with the meme. Oh. So I moved house peak Fortnite. Like, I think I was at 200 million views a month when I moved house. And up until that point, the only people that would come up to me were super nice. And it's like, oh, mate, I love your COD videos. Or like, I used to watch you back in the day. Like, can I grab a pic? Always so nice. I love meeting people out and about. And it was a flip where the meme went massive and my brand went beyond my audience. So a kid in school would know who I was because I was that Ali A meme intro, right? And for no other reason.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't know who I was really or what my content was. They'd just know me as that thing. And for the first time ever, I'd go out and about in public and like, people weren't nasty, but like people weren't pointing or like asking for pictures necessarily because they were a fan. It was almost just like, ha, I've just seen Ali A. He's a dickhead or something. Like,
so it was like, a joke.
Did we?
That's not too bad.
Dickhead.
Yeah.
Jenny, let's not get too pressed.
I just wanted to. Okay.
Now he's never going to say anything.
Shit. And it was really like, it had a lot of these negative sort of meets outside. But because I moved during the peak, I think the issue is because I moved, when you move into a new area and people find out that you're in a new area, everyone in the new area just talks about it.
Yeah.
So it's almost worth just never moving because people get bored of the fact that you're near there.
Yeah.
But we didn't have gates at the front of the house. Our house is like in the middle of nowhere, but people found it. And we tell neighbors, like, don't tell, like, please don't tell anyone that this is where we live. But their kids would go to school and they'd tell someone, and then every school in the area would know. You'd have like 20, 30 kids a day coming up to our house, and they'd go all the way up the drive. They'd knock on the windows. We had someone, we've never said this before, but we had these kids that we did eventually get a gate put in. They jumped over the gate and were like Snapchatting, and they were like talking to each other about like taking our dogs. And I'm like, nah, this is too far. Like, this is actually too far. Wow. We had to like call the police and like get people over, and like they'd run away and we'd like file reports and stuff. And it like started to just get really like crap, to be honest with you. Just like having actual people. It felt like we were in a zoo. It felt like, because a lot of our house is quite open, there's windows looking in. I'd see someone that I know is like come up to our house, and if I see them, they can see me, and I'm like, well, I can't move now. Like, I'd literally get stuck in a room of the house because if I left that room, they'd see me. The biggest thing is it, like, that's another side of the meme thing that people don't realize is like, and Claire, my wife, still really doesn't like PewDiePie for the fact that he basically caused a meme that had a real life impact on us and
never really, and just kind of walked away from it.
Yeah, it's like, haha, you got 10 million views, a viral video, and poked a bit of fun at me, but we had to deal with months and months of people trying to basically break into our house and mess with us and like cause real world issues. So that's one of the really negative side effects. And I don't bring it up much. And even when it was happening, I'd never say anything about it. Mm. Because I think it just would have drawn more attention and made it worse, to be honest. So
definitely,
we just kept it quiet, dealt with it, moved on. And thankfully it's not really a thing anymore. But yeah, you know, and I think YouTubers, as they become bigger, I think when I was smaller and people would come up to me, it wasn't quite as big of a thing because it was quite niche. You go back to those early days of like playing video games and recording it. It's quite a nerdy thing to do. So people just like, oh, it probably was other nerds, no offense, coming up to me and saying, hey. Yeah. Whereas now YouTube is such a big thing. Even parents know what YouTubers are. So you're held in this higher pedestal where it's like, you're a real celebrity. Oh my gosh. Well,
I had an interest, one time I was going to the airport and I was about to get on the train in the airport to go to a different terminal or something. And then this like older man came up to me And I was like, it's a confusing part of Heathrow with the trains.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, this guy's obviously going to ask me like what
the direction,
which train to get on, yeah. right? And the guy comes up to me and is like, oh, my son's a really big fan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, hold on a second. I had this idea built up in my head of what that person was coming to ask me to do.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it was, that was completely not it. And it's funny because back in the day, you'd have a kid come up and then they would say, oh, I'm a big fan. And the parents are like, I've got no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, it's almost flipped where the parents like know so much about creators and YouTubers as well. And they'll be like, yeah, can I get a selfie to show my kid that I saw this?
Yeah.
It's funny how it's evolved like that. And I think that correlates with the general acceptance of being a YouTuber as well. It sort of hinted that back in the day, it wasn't very cool. It was a bit weird to be
you play video games
and now
you make
it's
money
not.
From it
yeah Wait, now what? Now it's more so now I mean in a weird way like being a YouTuber is like almost mainstream
yeah well,
which
I
is
think
so weird.
There was a report where they asked loads of kids in primary school what they wanted to be, and if you jump back maybe 10-20 years, it's always like the big ones are like fireman, policeman, astronaut, and now it's like YouTuber number one,
top of the list.
I got a question for you guys. Do you, if you're out and about, I can look at a group of people and see a group of like kids at a certain age and I'm like,
I think I know what you're
this
gonna
isn't
say.
Gonna be big head. It does sound big headed, but I'm like, there's a 90% chance this person's gonna know who I am.
Yeah.
So I'll probably just avoid them or keep my head down. Yeah, do you guys do similar things?
Yeah, like, same thing.
I avoid people between
producer
the
ages. Ben, you probably like, cause I, whenever I go out with Ben and it's the same sort of thing, like we'll see someone sometimes and I'll be like, yeah, he knows.
Yeah.
He
knows. And like, I see them doing it as well. I don't think you're being paranoid. They look you up and down.
I tend to look down. Yeah. Just.
And I actually think out of the three of us, I'm probably by far the least recognized, I would say. I think I get away with it more.
It's because of the beard.
Yeah.
You know who got recognized a lot? And he's just got he's got looks that are out there. Quibble Cop.
Yeah. I think it depends on how.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Tall guy, a lot of hair.
Yeah, but
it
he
depends on
it.
Your look.
He loves that, though.
Oh, yeah. He vibes.
We sit in the pale male category.
Yeah.
But it's to be fair, Ali, you're pretty tall as well. I think you're a bit of a beacon.
Yeah, I kind of can't keep low key, can I?
No, but Jelly can.
Yeah. I can.
Jelly
definitely
can. Jelly crawls around on the ground.
They crawl around
low key.
On the ground.
Yeah.
But I think generally the good experiences of being known definitely outweigh the bad ones. And
yeah, it's fun.
Like I think
that's such an alleyway to they leave it off.
I try not register it. Like Ben there said, like he'll recognize someone looking at you, and that kind of, that'll happen where Claire's like, oh, they all recognize you. Mm. And I kind of just didn't take it in. If I just, I try not think about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise you will get paranoid and you will just not want to go outside. And yeah.
It's true.
It gets annoying though when people secretly take pictures of you.
That's the worst. That really gets me angry.
Yeah, I hate that, especially at restaurants. Yeah. If I'm like
it's
out with my
always
family.
At restaurants. Yeah.
Oh my God, that really makes me upset. I've had it many times, people like, or recording, like you said, like a Snapchat or something.
Yeah.
And they like come up to me like that.
Mm.
And then afterwards, ask for a picture. I'm just like,
it ruins it, doesn't it?
You're being a little rude. Yeah. Like,
but sort of like on the flip side though, some of the best experiences I've ever had is just like a kid with their parents walking past and then that kid kind of coming up and just being super respectful. The problem always comes from either bad timing or big groups.
Groups of kids is tough because they all get hectic.
And then they follow you around.
Talking about groups.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, me and Josh, we've been through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We've been through a lot.
Yeah.
I've watched watched most of the episodes with Quibble Cop and Craner because it's a really interesting dynamic. And yeah, you guys have
so
always...
if you tried to look, sort of, is that... Because obviously, coming into this interview,
interview.
This application
please,
that you made,
please accept me.
So you did some background research on the competition, for the role.
Yeah.
Well, this is interesting. So this is the first time I think we've had anyone really
take it seriously.
Excuse me, sorry.
Take it seriously.
Take what seriously? I think this is quite. Everyone takes this seriously.
and I love Fortnite.
Yeah. Okay. So.
So what do you think?
Well, I suppose, yeah. What are your thoughts on the role then, moving forward?
Is this when you start swearing?
I'd be great, guys. I'm really on time for things.
Well,
no, I'm not at all.
You'd be more on time than Josh.
I appreciate you saying that, but I don't personally think that you fit in to it.
I don't know if you're even joking anymore, but seriously, I actually don't think I would. No.
But regardless of whether you think you should, you're not breaking up with me, I'm breaking up with you. We don't think you're going to be a correct fit here. So okay. We appreciate you coming on to as an interviewee, yeah. and we appreciate you applying for the role. Yeah. But I think we're going to have to sort of leave it there.
Okay.
But hey, I'll tell you what, we will be in contact
about that Fortnite skin as well. We'll be in contact. Yeah.
We'll be in contact if our requirements of the role,
yeah,
we can reduce those.
Okay. Yeah, up your CV a little bit. Mm.
I think it needs bulking out.
I don't know if you want to talk about it, but I actually don't enjoy recording in groups at all.
And no,
like,
I know you don't.
I like having, like, I write a list of things I want to do every day and I do them whenever I want to do them. Mm. And I find it really stressful when you're getting ready to record and you're in a call for hours. And even back in the day, like, fun fact, I was in the original chat that made the Sidemen. Like, I was in that chat before the Sidemen were the Sidemen.
I think I've heard this before.
Oh my
and
god!
It's the same reason about with Vic and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So we used to play like COD together in evenings for hours, like
Circa.
As a group. Yeah, yeah, all of us. And then I can't even remember how the Sidemen came about, but I just don't fit
you,
into that.
You could have been a Sidemen.
I don't think I could have. I've been the worst Sidemen ever.
But you big timed the Sidemen.
Yeah, so I'm going solo.
So anyway,
God.
So you're not a team player. That's also. That's the next. Yeah. So
that's not looking
we good. Appreciate you coming on though, and yeah, we've had a really good time. And is there? Do you have anything you want to like?
Maybe we can end it with the dance.
The dance. Oh my gosh.
Why don't you both do the dance?
Definitely not doing that.
There's a reason my icon skin emote isn't really me dancing, and just I'm on a Diplodocus doing this because I can't dance. That's for sure.
just something like that. Beautiful. Perfect. Good.
Thank you, Ali.
Thank you for having me. No, it's been really fun. I don't really have anything to promote. If you're on the Fortnite item shop, you can use
code. Oh, we do have something to promote. It's this podcast on Spotify. Go follow it.
Yeah.
I'm way worse than Jelly.
He was trying to plug his own day.
Fortnite skin. Buy it whenever it comes up.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you for coming.
No worries. Thank you for having me.